Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Boulder Daily Camera and the Longmont Times Call, read by Kevin Martindale. This is being recorded on April 24th, 2024. Today we'll be reading the following main articles from the Boulder Camera. The Boulder Valley School District Superintendent argues that locals should oppose a bill. We have an article on the Front Range Community College has a mobile photonics lab. And from the Times Call, a U.S. 287 highway study is done and would have some impact on Longmont. All right, let's head to the front page of the Daily Camera. And our headline article is Boulder Valley School District Superintendent urges locals to oppose a bill. As enrollment declines continue to squeeze the budget, Boulder Valley School District Superintendent Rob Anderson is worried a bill that would overhaul the state's school funding formula will make it even more challenging. If this were to pass, that we need to prepare for a different future here at BVSD, Anderson said. These conversations get tougher and tougher. Anderson, at Tuesday's school board meeting, called on the community to join him in lobbying against House Bill 1448, which was spearheaded by House Speaker Julie McCluskey, a Democrat. The bill's goal is to create a more equitable funding formula by increasing resources to students living in poverty, learning English, and receiving special education services. Small and rural districts would also get extra money, but less money would be allocated to districts with a high cost of living, like Boulder Valley. The new formula would be phased in over 6 years and add about $500 million in revenue. To pay for it, the plan is to spend $84 million a year from either the state's general fund or the state's $1.5 billion education fund. The bill has received mixed support from school districts. While districts with higher poverty levels that would benefit with increased funding recently testified in favor of the bill, others, generally large suburban districts, were opposed. Along with Boulder Valley, those opposed include Adams 12, Cherry Creek, Littleton, and Douglas County. Concerns include that the changes simply shift money around without adequately funding schools. Anderson said his concerns include the sustainability of the changes, as well as the unpredictability of the new formula. Nobody knows what it will really actually do, Anderson said. These are big shifts. Along with talking about potential school funding formula changes, the school board heard an update on next school year's budget. On the revenue side, the district is expecting an additional $8.4 million in state per pupil funding, as well as about $4.6 million from the $141 million dollars allocated statewide to reduce the budget stabilization factor. The budget stabilization factor allows the state to use promised K through 12 education funding in other areas of the budget. Chief Financial Officer Bill Sutter said continued enrollment declines mean the district is seeing a smaller revenue increase than in past years, even as costs continue to rise because of inflation. The decline in enrollment is taking the big bite out of new revenue, he said. On the expenses side, the district is still negotiating salary increases with its employee groups. Giving all employees a raise to mirror the state's 5% inflation rate would add up to about $17 million, and the district only has about $8.7 million left in its general fund to spend on ongoing expenses based on its preliminary budget. The district also is spending about $3 million on its preschool program to make up the amount that's not covered by the state's universal preschool program. Along with ongoing expenses, the budget includes about $18.4 million in reserves the district expects will be available to spend on one-time needs. Proposals for that money include a $2.5 million staffing reserve to cover the cost of hiring teachers and other staff members at schools where enrollment comes in over projections, or to keep teachers when enrollment comes in under projections. About $4.2 million would go to curriculum materials, while $800,000 would be spent on special education support. Another $500,000 would be spent on the Grad Plus initiative that's designed to better prepare students for success after graduation. The school board plans to vote on a final budget in June. Our next front page article comes to us from the Front Range Community College, and they're saying we're trying to create excitement. The school is hosting Mobile Photonics Lab. A mobile lab visiting Front Range Community College through Thursday is providing visitors with an introduction to photonics with easy-to-understand real-world applications. The Thor Labs Mobile Photonics Lab experience will be at Front Range Community College's Center for Integrated Manufacturing at 1351 South Sunset Street in Longmont from 1 to 4 p.m. today and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Thursday. Visitors, including members of the general public, can experience hands-on demonstrations of different photonics technologies. Photonics is the study and manipulation of light. Applications range from an eye scan at the optometrist to fiber optic internet. Bill Warger, director of photonics education at Thor Labs, said the world is full of photonics technologies. You take your phone, for example, and you have your display, you have your camera, you might have face detection, you might have laser radar detection to measure distances, you might be connected to a watch that's measuring your pulse or blood oxygenation, Warger said. And so we use these photonics technologies every day, but hang on here. But if you say the word photonics, a lot of people don't recognize or know what it is. Thor Labs is a photonics company and industry partner of FRCC. The company created a mobile lab that travels across the country to high schools, colleges, and different events to educate and expose people to photonics technologies. The goal is to make photonics easy to understand and approachable. Basically, it's designed for someone who has no experience or no knowledge of photonics, said Noah Shaw, Sword Lab's mobile lab operations specialist. They can go through the lab and experience what photonics is all about and understand how it applies to daily life. The lab showcases three technologies: biomedical optics and imaging, spectroscopy, and optical communications. A biomedical device in the lab can show the layers of skin on your finger or the layers of a phone screen when placed under the scope. Other setups demonstrate how light can change the volume on a speaker and how water can manipulate light. The lab also has career resources, t-shirts, and informational flyers. It's to show students that the industry wants them and hopefully to excite them about some of the things they can work on, said Amanda Meyer, FRCC Optics Technology Program Director. FRCC has certificate and degree programs in optics and photonics to help combat the shortage of technicians the industry faces. Companies are always coming to me looking for students to hire, Meyer said. She said the average entry salary for a photonics technician is around $50,000, and an experienced photonics technician can make $85,000 or higher. We're trying to create excitement about optics and photonics, so that students see real-life examples of how the technology is used and then get excited about joining the field, Warger said. The mobile lab will move to Boulder next week as part of a Thor Labs open house from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on May 1st at the Hotel Boulderado, 2115 13th Street. The open house will include games, discussions, giveaways, and food, and is open to the public. From the business section, we have a couple of articles. The first one is out of Superior, and it says, Bigsby's Folly plans a larger Roaring Twenties-inspired winery. Bigsby's Folly Craft Winery and Restaurants plans for its Superior expansion are growing. The team behind the Superior project, couple Marla Yetka and Chad Yetka, who are also the operators of the original Bigsby's Folly in Denver's River North neighborhood, previously received approval to build 5,400 square feet of interior restaurant and events venue space at the corner of Creekview Way and Marshall Road. Now the Yetkas are set to go before the Superior Board of Trustees on Monday evening, seeking an amendment to the final development plan that would bump the allowable building size up to 6,200 square feet. Plans for Bigsby's Folly's Superior Outpost, which is described in Superior planning documents as being a Roaring Twenties inspired, also call for outdoor patio and roof deck seating areas. Bigsby's will bring its proven and successful combination of an upscale, family-friendly restaurant, award-winning winery, full bar, and popular private event venue to serve as a community gathering place. A rooftop deck will be unmatched mountain views for everyone to enjoy, the operator said in a memo to Superior planners. The Yetkas founded Bigsby's Folly Craft Winery and Restaurant in 2017. About a year or two after we opened, we knew the concept was viable, and we wanted to reproduce it in other areas, Marla Yetka told Biz West in a January interview. But we wanted the second location to be close enough to the first so that we could really be there and have the owner present. After an exhaustive search for sites along the Front Range, the Yetkas found a location in Central Superior, where the downtown Superior development would soon sprout, and we just kind of fell in love with it, she said. The lack of event venues and good wineries and bars presented an opportunity for Big B's to fill a niche in the community that had plans to build hundreds of homes and thousands of square feet of office space near the Yetka's target site at the corner of Coal Creek Drive and Marshall Road. The couple was on the verge of signing a lease when the pandemic struck. Obviously, everything halted, Yetka said. We weren't even sure we were going to make it through with our current business. The crew from Bigsby's Folly, named after Yetka's late beloved golden retriever, and their would-be landlord in Superior all agreed to get through COVID and see what happens, Yetka said. Fast forward to late 2021, and Yetka's and the downtown Superior development team were putting the pandemic in the rearview mirror when the Marshall Fire ripped through eastern Boulder County. We had been vertical at that point, and we would have gone, Yetka said. The Bigsby's Folly team regrouped for a few months. In the meantime, downtown Superior, master developer RC Superior LLC, or Ranch Capital, sold the site of the planned Superior Winery to Carmel Partners, multifamily real estate development and investment firm that was not interested in building a food and drink facility and leasing it to the Yetkas. The couple, who sold their dream home in Denver's Washington Park neighborhood to launch the Rhino Bigsby's, decided to buy the land and build a second winery themselves. When we did our first designs around 2019, the cost to do the project was $5.5 million, Marla Yetka said. Costs have since ballooned, and the project budget was upward of $7.5 million as of early 2024. While the Yetkas were able to secure some small business loans with relatively reasonable terms, it's just a lot more cost prohibitive than it would have been 2 or 3 years ago. Superior Town officials have stepped up with tax incentives worth as much as $1 million over a period of about a decade. The mayor and the town council in Superior have just been bending over backward to welcome us and get the project built there, Yetka said. They really want locally owned businesses rather than chains. They want really good quality tenants. The Superior Board of Trustees meets at 6 p.m. Monday to consider a final development plan amendment for Bigsby's Folly. In one additional business article, we have Pfizer to shut Boulder R&D operations. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer Incorporated, NYSE, stock exchange ticker symbol is PFE, will shut down its research and development facility in Boulder in the coming months. The move, first reported by Endpoints News, will result in an undisclosed number of job cuts. The facility at 3200 Walnut Street, which Pfizer took over in 2019 as part of its $11 billion acquisition of Boulder-based oncology company Array BioPharma Inc., has focused mainly on oncology drug research and employs about 300 workers, according to Pfizer's website. Pfizer started a process in early 2023 to externalize the Boulder research operations. Although we received some investor interest in through this process, we have made the difficult decision to wind down Boulder research operations by the end of Q2 2024, a company spokesperson told Biz West in an emailed statement. Pfizer will retain a site presence in Boulder for colleagues not affiliated with our research activities to continue working. Pfizer telegraphed its intent to wind down R&D operations in Boulder last fall when the company laid off an undisclosed number of workers at the Walnut Street facility. We've been apprised of it, and we understand that they've been considering options for outsourcing the research operations, Boulder Chamber CEO John Taylor told Biz West on Tuesday afternoon. Pfizer, a multinational pharmaceutical company with its North American headquarters in New York, continues to hone its R&D footprint and focus on areas where its capabilities are differentiated, aiming to reduce cycle times further through optimization of its end-to-end R&D operations, the company said in an October 2023 email to Biz West after the previous round of layoffs were reported. As part of this effort, we have made the very difficult decision to reduce the footprint of our Boulder organization and to transition some research programs to other facilities. Our efforts to implement these strategic changes will result in colleague impact at our Boulder, Colorado site. Pfizer declined to specify how many workers would be affected by the R&D wind down in Boulder. Unfortunately, part of the effort will result in some job loss for Pfizer, the spokesperson said. We are still working through the details. As of Tuesday afternoon, Pfizer had not filed a Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act notice with the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. WARN notices are required when company layoffs reach certain thresholds. While Pfizer's decision to stop R&D operations in the city is a blow, especially for the laid-off workers, it doesn't necessarily reflect a diminishment of Boulder's growing reputation as a national life sciences hub, Taylor said. In the Boulder market, one of our great strengths is the wide diversity of both R&D and manufacturing operations in the life sciences sector, he said, and laid-off workers could be quickly recruited by other local biotech companies. It obviously depends on their specific skills and research focus, but we see other companies continue to grow their operations here, Thayer said. When Pfizer acquired Array Biopharma about 5 years ago, a Pfizer spokeswoman told Biz West that the company had no intention of reducing headcount at the former Array office or moving employees to other research sites across the country. Beyond the human impacts of Pfizer's move to shutter its Boulder R&D facility, the move is likely to have commercial real estate ramifications across the Boulder Valley, which has seen a boom in recent years of developers and investors building flex industrial spaces and repurposing existing offices in an attempt to woo biotech tenants. Compared to other life science hubs, such as the San Francisco Bay Area or Boston, Boulder is a small market, Becky Gamble, CEO of the brokerage Dean Callen & Company, told Biz West this week in an interview about the state of the Boulder Valley's commercial real estate landscape. So when you have a significant deal size or a notable tenant that comes into the marketplace, that can change the dynamics pretty quickly. The same concept applies when a major tenant such as Pfizer leaves the market. In 2021, after Pfizer had settled into the Walnut Street facility, Atlanta-based investment firm Invesco Limited bought the four-building, 151,000-square-foot office and lab campus from Pfizer's then-landlord Tri-Tower Financial Group, LLC, for $99 million. When the property changed hands, Pfizer said it had extended its lease on Walnut Street but did not specify the terms or length. Assuming Invesco, the representatives of which did not immediately respond to requests for comment Tuesday afternoon, doesn't have a new tenant lined up to move into the Walnut Street space, the Pfizer facility could hit the market during a period when a host of other Boulder Valley biotech-centric facilities, from Louisville's Redtail Ridge to the Coal Creek Innovation Campus in downtown Superior, to Flatiron Park in East Boulder, are making their way through the development pipeline. As a result of macroeconomic factors such as a reduction in venture capital accessibility, some life sciences companies have struggled to get funding, Gamble said. I think the VC market is still slow, which affects biotech companies' abilities to take over new offices, manufacturing plants, and R&D facilities. We went from having nothing when the demand was crazy to having product being developed in a demand environment that has somewhat cooled, she said. We've got some of these projects that have been completed and are now ready for the demand to return. The book Colorado Bioscience Association, through its recently launched Colorado Hub for Health Impact Initiative, is partnering with nearly two dozen companies, municipalities, and economic development groups, many of which call the Boulder Valley home, to boost the region's biotechnology profile around the nation and globe in an effort to attract life science companies. The 22-member consortium will not only serve as a marketing arm for Colorado's biotech sector, but will also work with site selectors to help find the right home for companies relocating to or expanding in the state, and it will assist firms in identifying and securing incentives and investment, according to Colorado Hub for Health Impact Leaders. According to CBSA, the U.S. Highway 36 corridor between Denver and Boulder is home to almost one-third of Colorado's biotech companies and research institutions. Nearly 17% of industry is clustered in northern Colorado, with the remainder mostly concentrated around Denver and Colorado Springs. I didn't realize that article was so long. Let's head to the Front Range column, and we have an article that's entitled American Legion Cleanup Ensures Veterans Resting Spots Are Tidy. The American Legion Post 111 in Louisville is hosting a cemetery cleanup in an effort to honor local war veterans. The event will be held at the Louisville Cemetery at 2105 Empire Road from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Volunteers must sign a waiver before working, but can do so between 9 and 9:50 a.m. at the cemetery. Pam Motorano, Post 111's event chair, said American Legion posts offer events and resources for veterans to help veterans. Although Louisville does a great job of maintaining the cemetery, she said, Saturday's cleanup is a way to complete detailed work and ensure no grave is missed. As a community, the event is a good way to honor those who are resting in peace there and make sure they have grounds that are well cared for, Motorano said. Motorano hopes the event will community see the importance of honoring veterans' legacy, history, and lives. Volunteers who are asked to bring their own gardening supplies and gloves will clean up trash and markers from the headstones and will ensure no weeds or grass are covering names. Motorano said the event helps the community ensure the final resting grounds of veterans remain beautiful. Plus, volunteers can pay their respects while also getting to know Post-111's veteran members. The Post-111 will provide food, drinks, and a bathroom for volunteers. More information is available at facebook.com/Post-111 Louisville. From the In Brief column, we've got out of Boulder, CU Boulder to host a two-day sustainability summit. The University of Colorado Boulder will hold its annual campus sustainability summit on Wednesday and Thursday for people to learn more about and advance sustainability measures on campus. Topics include decarbonization, student awards, global citizenship, and plastics. All events are free and open to the public and will be held at CU Boulder's University Memorial Center at 1669 Euclid Avenue in various rooms. For a full schedule of events, visit css24.sched.com. City and county to host a 55-plus job fair. Job seekers 55 and older can meet employers, receive a free resume review, and attend an educational workshop about programs and training at a job fair slated for 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. Thursday at the East Age Well Center at 5600 Sioux Drive. That's SIOUX. Staffers will be on hand to help with Spanish translation. Local nonprofit groups and other human services agencies will talk about additional community support services and resources for older adults. Registration for the workshop is required. Admission and parking are free. To find out more, contact Ashley Fowler at fowlera@bouldercolorado.gov or at 303-441-4388. Out of Boulder County, a burn near Gross Reservoir depended on the weather. Fire managers are monitoring weather conditions to decide whether to burn the Forsyth 2 prescribed burn area near Gross Reservoir on Wednesday, according to a release from the U.S. Forest Service. It's possible that no ignition occurs depending on weather and the parameters with which we are able to burn, said Maria Washburn, public affairs specialist with the U.S. Forest Service. If there is smoke and fire in the area, fire managers advise the public not to call 911. People nearby can expect to smell and see smoke from the Lakeshore Subdivision, Crescent Village, Crescent Meadows, Gross Reservoir, Walker Park Ranch, Miramonte, Wonderview, El Dorado Canyon State Park, and parts of East Boulder County. And lastly, our last in brief article comes to us via Lafayette. It says, three go to a hospital after a home fire on Saturday. Three people took themselves to the hospital Saturday after a structure fire broke out at a two-story split-level home. When Lafayette Fire initially arrived on scene early Saturday morning, they saw heavy smoke and flames coming from the rear of the house, according to a Mountain View Fire Rescue post on X. Crews searched the home and confirmed it was empty. First responders contacted the Red Cross to help the family. Let's head to the Times Call, and our headline article says, U.S. 287 study calls for safety upgrades. Recommendations include a 4-mile median north of Longmont and an 8-mile median to the south. Boulder County officials recently wrapped up a $649,000 traffic study about U.S. 287 in hopes of one day ending traffic fatalities and serious injuries along the busy transit corridor. The study calls for officials to decide on safety improvements along the major thoroughfare that connects Longmont, Lafayette, and Erie. One of the study's findings is that 29% of all fatal crashes in Boulder County from 2021 to 2022 were on U.S. 287. In January, two people were killed in a head-on collision just north of Longmont along U.S. 287. Longmont City Council voted unanimously Tuesday to accept the study's findings. Most of the fatal and serious crashes along 287 happened in rural areas with high speed limits and involved drivers crossing over the center line into the opposite direction of traffic, according to the study. The study recommends that workers install a roughly 4-mile-long median barrier just north of Longmont from Park Ridge Avenue to the Boulder-Larimer County border, and another estimated 8-mile-long median barrier south of the city between Pike Road and Arapaho Road. Longmont paid $13,000 into the U.S. 287 Vision Zero Safety and Mobility Study, with the remaining funding came from Boulder County, grant dollars, and other neighboring cities. In all, the study focuses on the roughly 24-mile stretch of U.S. 287 between Midway Boulevard in Broomfield and Horseshoe Circle on the Boulder-Larimer County line. Officials started collecting study information in the winter of 2022 and wrapped it up in December of 2023. For the projects north and south of the city of Longmont, the city would help with letters of support for the state and county to pursue federal grants, said Phil Greenwald, Longmont Transportation Planning Manager. The city may also help pay for some of the matching dollars to support this effort as well. In other transit news, the City Council approved a property purchase at 617 First Avenue to help make room for the planned future First and Main Transit Station Facilities Project. The site, which is slated to be sold for $800,000, appears to have been a small hardwood business. City officials and RTD representatives signed an agreement in 2017 to move forward on building a new transit facility near First Avenue and Main Street to support a public bus rapid transit service between Longmont and Boulder. City officials are acquiring the needed parcels to be able to build the transit facility, the mayor said Tuesday. These parcels that are being purchased by the city are conversations that are being held with the property owners, Mayor Joan Peck said. There's no eminent domain, and it is fair market value and or relocation of the business. La Mariposa celebrates grand opening of a new Longmont restaurant. The wait is over for Longmont fans of La Mariposa Mexican restaurant, as Tuesday marked the grand opening of the business's new location in the city. The previous Longmont home for the Northern Colorado Mexican restaurant chain was inside a strip mall at 1240 Ken Pratt Boulevard. Now, restaurant lives just down the street inside a building at 2033 Ken Pratt Boulevard, which was most recently occupied by Bojo's Pizza Restaurant. The move comes after more than three decades of growth for La Mariposa. The family-owned chain, started by Mexican immigrants Rene and Maria Cervantes, began as a burrito shop at the original Longmont location. The business has expanded since then to include restaurants in Boulder, Lyons, and Greeley. I've been working with the Cervantes family for about 10 years now, and they are the example of the American dream, said Jorge Murillo, marketing director for La Mariposa. This month marks 37 years since La Mariposa first opened its doors in Longmont. Rene Cervantes Jr., son of La Mariposa's co-founders, said it has long been his parents' dream to have their restaurant in a freestanding building in the city where they met and became entrepreneurs. These two folks have been our example, Rene Cervantes Jr. said of his parents. Day and night, rain or shine, for somebody else and for their own, they were always there to work. That's what they've instilled in us. The Spanish term La Mariposa translates to the butterfly. At the new location, the butterfly theme is on full display with murals and art pieces on the walls depicting the colorful insects. On Tuesday, the restaurant opened at 8 a.m. to treat early bird guests to a taste of La Mariposa's breakfast menu, from pina colada French toast to le tres leches pancakes. The breakfast is a new step for the chain and will be offered at its other locations as well. The Longmont Area Chamber of Commerce also came to the grand opening to conduct a ribbon-cutting ceremony. The Cervantes family and the restaurant staff stood together as a large gold ribbon was cut and confetti filled the air. We are here to celebrate this amazing legacy of a family, said Wendy Braden, director of membership for the chamber. The ceremony also unveiled a surprise for the restaurant's founders, a framed photo of Rene and Maria Cervantes on the entrance wall, complete with the story of how La Mariposa came to be. The ceremony was attended by dozens of community members who came to celebrate the Cervantes family and their accomplishments. Guests were invited inside the restaurant after the event to enjoy tacos, drinks, mariachi music performed on the rooftop deck. The community has embraced us tremendously, Cervantes said. Rene and Maria Cervantes attended the grand opening alongside their family members, and Rene expressed gratitude for how much support the business has received over the years. I want to thank the community, especially Longmont, Rene Cervantes said. Longmont has been our home. La Mariposa Longmont is open from 8 a.m. to midnight Monday through Saturday and 9:30 a.m. to noon on Sunday. From the In Brief column, we have, out of Longmont, police found a dead man in vehicle on Sunday. Police found a deceased man inside a vehicle after responding to a medical call at 12:14 p.m. on Sunday at 4901 Nelson Road, according to Robin Erickson, the Longmont Public Safety spokeswoman. The Boulder County Coroner's Office identified the man as 18-year-old Brennan Warren, who was found deceased in a parking lot located off Nelson Road, according to a press release. The death is not being investigated as a suspicious death, Erickson said. SVVSD hosts its third annual high school career fair. The St. Vrain Valley Schools will hold its third annual free career and job fair for high school students on Friday. Representatives from colleges, industry, and the military will be on hand. Students can interview for internships and jobs, receive feedback on their resumes, and have a free professional portrait taken. The event will be held in two sessions from 9 to 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 to 3 p.m. at two locations, the Career Evaluation, the Career Elevation and Technology Center at 1200 South Sunset Street, and the Innovation Center at 33 Quail Road, both in Longmont. One taken to hospital, one arrested in a Monday crash. One driver went to the hospital and police arrested the other driver on an unrelated charge Monday morning after a crash involving a white Cadillac and a gold Subaru near 17th Avenue and Collier Street. Longmont police responded to a report of an injury crash at 6:17 a.m., according to Longmont Public Safety spokeswoman Robin Erickson. The white Cadillac was driving northbound on Collier when the accident happened, Erickson said. The female driver of the white Cadillac left the crash and ran north on Collier Street. Police found her in the 1800 block of Collier Street. Police arrested the woman after finding that she had an outstanding warrant for failure to comply, second-degree domestic violence assault, strangulation. The woman also was cited for careless driving resulting in injury, leaving the scene of an accident involving injury, and failure to notify police of an CSU's WizKid brings children's programming to the masses. In a bedazzled lab coat, Converse sneakers, and glasses that answer the question, what if a hipster wore safety goggles? Angelica Peterson had her bespectacled eyes set on creating captivating children's educational programming. As she filmed Friday at Colorado State University's Spur Campus in Denver, Peterson's Taylor Swift-esque friendship bracelet, dangling with charms that included a silver microscope, spelled out her stage name, WizKid. For WizKid and the team of CSU employees behind her, all the world's a stage. The university this month launched a new YouTube series named after the character and based out of the Spur campus near the National Western Complex. In the series, WizKid explores the free interactive educational center and questions in-house experts and researchers on kid-friendly topics. In one episode, WizKid interviewed a CSU horticulturist to learn about plants. In another, she demonstrated at-home chemistry experiments. Yet another highlighted the science behind making bread, butter, and cheese. What Spur is trying to do at its core is reach out to young people early in their lives and inspire them and show them role models and move past the narrative that maybe college isn't for them, CSU Chancellor Tony Frank said. WizKid is a perfect little microcosm of that philosophy. The goal is to create accessible, educational children's programming that can reach anyone with an internet connection, whether they're a kid in a Colorado classroom or a learner across the globe, said Peterson, whose day job is a CSU digital media specialist. We have our eyes set for the entire United States and even the world, she said, channeling Bill Nye, the science guy, but with Eras Tour energy. Peterson is proud to have debuted the first 6-episode season of the YouTube show and promises plenty more hijinks on video, social media, and in person at live events. Science doesn't have to be stuffy, she said. WizKid is about a year in the making, said CSU's Associate Vice President of Communications, Tiana Kennedy. And the program was born out of a desire to personify the elements CSU Spur focuses on, food, water, and health. The Spur campus's 3 buildings, Vita, Terra, and Hydro, are full of free child activities like a veterinary hospital behind a glass wall that allows families to watch live operations or visit a rooftop greenhouse. The campus provides an ideal playground for WizKid, whose fun and quirky personality comes to life in front of the camera. Last week, Peterson skipped through these Spur buildings while filming social media content for Earth Day, swinging around a banana peel as she talked about composting. The content is aimed at an elementary to middle school audience, she said. The age feels prescient for Peterson, who wrote in a 4th grade project that she wanted to be an actress and a scientist. I'm making young Angelica's dreams come true, Peterson said. The stars aligned and my career allowed me to use my skills as an editor and videographer, but also be in front of the camera. I love how lucky I love how lucky I got to get to do this as my job. When the CSU team was kicking around ideas for children's programming, they had a willing volunteer in Peterson, and the project snowballed from there. The crew is small, a CSU videographer, a graphics editor, a social media editor, and Peterson, who focuses on the scripts and works on with the experts behind the scenes and in front of the camera. To get in the WizKid headspace, Peterson watches Nye or blasts silly songs with Larry, a segment from the kids' show Veggie Tales that made her laugh growing up. Peterson also is inspired by Food Network personality Alton Brown, whose show Good Eats explored the science behind food in a fun and approachable way. One of the other things is that we really wanted to get more girls interested in science, so why not have a woman's face as the host, Peterson said. The main driving force is to make science accessible for students, but also to make it inclusive. When it comes to jobs or career exploration, we want our audience to see someone who looks like them. WizKid's future is bright. CSU is working on more episodes, but the school also wants to base shows on the needs of students, Kennedy said. The university is working to align show topics with Colorado's educational curriculum and developing worksheets and materials that teachers can pass out to students for corresponding lessons, Kennedy said. Thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Boulder Daily Camera and the Longmont Times Call, read by Kevin Martindale.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.